Hello and welcome. Let's start with a question that sounds simple but never is. When and where did the first witch hunts begin? We want a neat answer. History gives us a messy one. So here's the moment that changed how I think about it. 1648, Massachusetts Bay Colony. A tight-knit Puritan world. Small wooden houses, hard winters, conformity as survival. In the middle stood Margaret Jones, a midwife and healer. Neighbors accused her of sundry acts of witchcraft. Small frictions, odd illnesses, bad harvests. Fear went looking for a cause and landed on a person. She was hanged in 1648, one of the earliest recorded witchcraft executions in what would become the United States. What grabs me isn't just the tragedy, it's the pattern. These weren't random superstitions. They were tools, crude, powerful tools, for social control. When communities feel threatened by disease, scarcity, shifting roles, fear wants a target. Accusations police boundaries. Punishment proves the community is in control. With Margaret Jones, it's all on the surface. She delivered babies and practiced healing. Roles that gave a woman knowledge and authority in a culture that demanded tight lanes. Puritans feared the devil, yes, but also female influence, changing roles, the erosion of tradition. Zoom out, and the template repeats across centuries and continents. A perceived threat to the social order. A trigger, sickness, storm, crop failure, political crisis. Then the spiral, accusations leaping house to house as fear fuels itself. Salem gets the headlines in the 1690s, but the spark had been catching for decades. What made Salem explode wasn't only theology, it was local. Personal grudges, property disputes, village politics. Read the court transcripts and you'll see how often the evidence was intangible. Spectral evidence meant someone could say, "I saw your spirit hurt me," even if you were miles away. Imagine defending yourself against someone else's nightmare. So when you hear mass hysteria, here's the trick. Look past the supernatural to the practical. Who's in conflict with whom? Who stands to gain? What strain is the community under? The witchcraft label can be a mask for ordinary fears. To see why this took hold in New England, cross the Atlantic. Europe had been churning through witch hunts for generations. In 1487, a Dominican inquisitor named Heinrich Kramer published the Malleus Maleficarum, the Hammer of Witches, a handbook on how to find and prosecute witches. It spread like wildfire. English law made witchcraft a capital crime under the Witchcraft Act of 1604. Those ideas, that legal framework, those pamphlets, they all sailed with colonists. New England didn't invent the panic. It imported it, then localized it. For scale, picture a packed sports stadium. Between the late 1500s and mid-1600s, tens of thousands were executed for witchcraft across Europe, especially in parts of the Holy Roman Empire. This wasn't fringe. It was mainstream power and belief, dressed up as law. And the consequences fell on familiar shoulders. Roughly 4 out of 5 accused were women, often over 40. Think about caretakers, widows, survivors, truth tellers. Widows mattered economically. They held property, made decisions. In a world straining to keep hierarchies intact, independent women read as threats. Add poverty, illness, or simple nonconformity. Being blunt, skipping the right gatherings, keeping too many cats, and your risk spiked. When the center is anxious, the margins pay. Back to that New England village, a harsh winter, thin harvests, whispers, a baby dies in childbirth, a cow goes dry. A neighbor who already disliked you suddenly sees meaning in the bad luck. Your work involves herbs, bodies, outcomes no one fully understands. The lines between healer and heretic blur. Authorities eager to show control don't step in with humility. They reach for imported certainty. There must be a culprit, a crime, a sentence. And a woman like Margaret Jones becomes a symbol, a container for a frightened society's anxieties. Salem, a few decades later, is what happens when that logic meets a local powder keg. Religious fervor, yes, but also land feuds, a minister with shaky authority. Girls with limited power except in the witness chair, and a court willing to accept dreams as proof. The game-changer insight is this. Salem wasn't an aberration. It was the system working as designed. Fear funneled through law and custom, pushed to its breaking point. Why this matters now? Witch hunts are a story about speed. How fast we slide from uncertainty to blame to punishment. They're also a story about design. How institutions, media, and leaders can accelerate that slide or slow it down. Back then, manuals and laws offered ready-made paths to persecution. Today, the tools are different, but the pattern isn't gone. When something scares us, disease, technology, demographic change, you can watch the template reboot. A trigger, a target, a tool to make it official. So what do we do? I keep three questions close whenever a moral panic builds. 1. What's the real source of the fear? Illness, scarcity, status anxiety. 2. Who's being singled out? And why them? The elderly, the poor, people outside expected roles? 3. What rules are expanding to make the panic feel justified? Back then it was the Witchcraft Act and spectral evidence. Today it might be rushed policy, viral misinformation, or guilt by association. If you can name those things, you can resist them. This isn't about absolving the past. It's about learning from it. Witch hunts are about power. Who has it, who wants to keep it, and how fear gets weaponized to defend it. Understanding the psychology and politics is crucial. If you want the deeper dive, the legal mechanics, church debates, colonial economies, it's in the companion article and guides. Here, I want you to carry the storyline you can spot in the wild. Margaret Jones's death in 1648 set a precedent. Not just that execution could happen, but that a community under pressure could pour its anxieties into a single body and call it justice. That shadow stretches into Salem and beyond. There's a counter story too. In the aftermath of Salem, some judges and ministers publicly apologized. English witchcraft laws were finally repealed in the 1730s. Institutions learned, slowly, painfully, that certainty can be a trap. So the next time you hear a witch hunt tossed around, think about those neighbors in Massachusetts. How fragile order felt. How irresistible the promise of a single villain can be. Think about the midwife who knew too much for the comfort of her time. Think about a court that let dreams stand in for proof. And then think about us. How we handle fear. How we treat people who don't fit. And whether we can sit with uncertainty long enough to seek truth, rather than a target. If this history hooked you, the deeper research is waiting. But for now, hold on to the pattern. A trigger, a target, a tool. Name it when you see it. And remember, justice begins where panic ends.